Our first scripture reading is going to be from 2 Peter chapter 3, if you'd like to turn with me in your Bibles. Hebrews, James, Peter, 2 Peter chapter 3. If you might remember, a few weeks ago we read from 2 Peter and our focus was on the end of this chapter, particularly the returning of the Lord, that it will be like a thief, the heavens will disappear with a roar, the elements be destroyed by fire. That was corresponding to the passage that Jesus said where he desires for the fire to be kindled and this earth to be purified and burned with fire. But today we're going to be reading the verses preceding that, which is the first seven verses of 2 Peter chapter 3, which talks about, which reveals the stubbornness of man in thinking that this world will continue as it is, and they deny the certain judgment that is at hand. So 2 Peter chapter 3, if you're using our black pew Bible, that's page 1181, 2 Peter 3, the first seven verses. Dear friends, This is now my second letter to you. I have written both of them as reminders to stimulate you to wholesome thinking. I want you to recall the words spoken in the past by the holy prophets and the command given by our Lord and Savior through your apostles. First of all, you must understand that in the last days, scoffers will come, scoffing and following their own evil desires. They will say, "Where is this coming he promised? Ever since our fathers died, everything goes on as it has since the beginning of creation." But they deliberately forget that long ago, by God's word, the heavens existed and the earth was formed out of water and by water. By these waters also the world of that time was deluged and destroyed. By the same word, the present heavens and earth are reserved for fire, being kept for the day of judgment and the destruction of ungodly men. And that's as far as we're reading from 2 Peter as our context for Luke chapter 12. Before we read from Luke, let's turn again in our Bibles to 369. Hail, thou once despised Jesus. Hail, thou Galilean King. 369. Let's stand to sing 369. Let's turn now for the last time to Luke chapter 12. Luke chapter 12, returning for the last time, the closing words of Luke chapter 12 is our consideration this morning. And if you're using our black pew Bible, that's page 1010. Luke chapter 12, verses 54 to the end of the chapter. We're going to be considering the closing arguments of Luke chapter 12. Luke 12 at verse 54. He said to the crowd, "When you see a cloud rising in the west, immediately you say it's going to rain, and it does. And when the south wind blows, you say it's going to be hot, and it is. Hypocrites! You know how to interpret the appearance of the earth and the sky. How is it that you don't know how to interpret this present time? Why don't you judge for yourselves what is right? As you are going with your adversary to the magistrate, try hard to be reconciled to him on the way. Or he may drag you off to the judge, and the judge turn you over to the officer, and the officer throw you into prison. I tell you, you will not get out until you have paid the last penny." As far as reading in God's Word, may he add his blessing to it. Congregation of our Lord Jesus Christ, it takes wisdom to know how to act as you prepare for the future. Consider that the time at which the time of the day it is reflected in our actions. In the morning, we tend to wake up, we tend to drink a cup of coffee, we have breakfast, we get dressed, we go out and we begin our work. At night, we have a cup of tea, we relax, and we get ready for bed. This is to be expected. We also dress differently concerning the weather. If you watch the news the night before, you know that tomorrow is going to be negative 25. You had better dress accordingly if you have to go to work. If you know that it's going to be 50 above, you know that this changes how you approach the coming day. This is to be expected. Knowing our context, knowing what time it is and what the future is pressing, what the future is going to bring, it determines how we act. But when we put this truth into the context of world history, do we know what time it is? Do we know how to discern the present age so that we act accordingly? Over the past few weeks in looking at Luke chapter 12, the pressing matter that Jesus brings up again and again and again is that Jesus is coming back. Jesus is coming back, and he is coming back to judge the living and the dead. Revelation talks about that white throne being set up. There's going to be a division, you'll remember from a few weeks back, a division between the sheep and the goats. Jesus is going to come back to separate and divide. He is going to come back to weigh the actions of all men. That was the parable of the faithful and the wise stewards and the foolish servants. It is only the ones who are busy and faithful doing the work of the manager or the owner of the house that will be hear those words, "Well done," that will be rewarded. Well, it's with this continued focus on the pressing return of Jesus Christ that Jesus concludes Luke chapter 12. And we're going to look at this theme, that Jesus Christ exhorts us to discern the present age so that we might act accordingly, that we might act wisely, that we might live wisely. I'll say that again. Jesus Christ exhorts us to discern, to live with understanding concerning the present age. Well, Jesus starts our passage in verse 54 with the topic of discerning the times. And what time is it? What time is it appearing to be? Literally, Jesus says, "You know how to interpret the appearance of the earth and the sky." As human beings, we are creatures of time, not the minutes and seconds that we tend to have on our digital clocks, but throughout world history, we have been able to discern the time of the day. Perhaps you knew this when you were growing up on a farm, and if you're out working in the middle of the field, you look up, you see the sun is straight ahead, straight above you, straight up. You know it's noon. You know it's probably time for dinner. And then as the sun is coming close to the edge of the horizon, you know it's late. The sun is going down. The work is almost done. Well, this common human knowledge was applied to the weather in the land of the Canaanite land, or the land of Israel. When they were looking to the west, you'll remember that the west was the Mediterranean Sea. When they saw that a cloud rising up or coming on the horizon towards the west, coming on the wind, they would know that this was a storm cloud being brought by the wind when it would hit the hills and the surrounding territory. The cold wind would rush up and meet the clouds, and it would tend to rain. And when they felt the wind blowing from the south, you know that to the south of Israel or Judea was the desert of the Negev. It was a very dry, hot land. So when the wind was blowing up from the south, they would say, it's going to be dry and hot. And so it was. So the present day human common knowledge was wise concerning the weather. Another common adage, which was from the terms of sailing, was this, which is a common adage of today. If a red sky in the morning is sailor's warning, but a red sky at night means sailor's delight. Throughout the ages of history, man has been able to determine certain tricks of the trade to try to look into the future, to discern what the future will bring. Well, as Jesus says, you're so wise when it comes to looking at the environment around you, to discern the present day and age by looking at the earth and the air. But Jesus is not altogether impressed with their observation skills. No, he in fact has quite a strong rebuke in verse 56. Saying to the crowd around them, hypocrites. You hypocrites. Now remember what a hypocrite was. A hypocrite is a person who speaks and acts a certain way in a certain context, but is not consistent in a different context. Jesus is here saying, you are wise in the way of common knowledge. You're wise in discerning the weather and patterns. But as a people, you are foolish because you are not applying the same observation skills that you use concerning the weather to discern the time, the day, and the age. This is that closing of verse 56. How is it that you don't know how to interpret this present time? Now, what is the present time that Jesus is referring to, and what are the signs that the people had missed? Well, Jesus was saying concerning the present time and the signs that they had missed, he was speaking to his identity. And this was back in chapter 11. Jesus had been doing all these miracles and signs and wonders. And Jesus says in chapter 11, these signs that I am performing are signs that state, that clearly display two things. One, my identity, and two, the coming of the age of the kingdom of God. The sign that Jesus performed in his ability to cast out demons, to raise the dead repeatedly, to feed the multitude, preaching the good news to all men. This was a sign that the people were supposed to be able to discern by looking at these signs and wonders, to discern these two things. One, who is Jesus Christ? What is his identity? Who is this man that can but speak to the dead in the tomb and call them out? Or the widow's son to touch the coffin? Who is the man that can speak to the storm and the wind and calm them? Who by his power can take a few loaves and a few fish and feed thousands? Who can meet a man that is filled with a legion of demons and cast them out by the power of his word? Who is this man? This was a sign to the nation of Israel. I am the Christ. I am the anointed one. I am the one promised of old. But the people, seeing the signs, refused to acknowledge what the sign was pointing to. Refused to acknowledge the identity of Jesus Christ. And Jesus says, you are hypocrites. You can see a cloud and you can say it's going to rain. You can feel the wind and say it's going to be dry and hot. But you've seen the multitude of miracles, signs, and wonders I perform, and you can't tell who I am. But the second thing they failed to understand was the sign of the time or the age, the kingdom of God. Jesus said this repeatedly. If by the power of God, if the power, the finger of God is present among you by my signs and wonders, then the kingdom of God is at hand. The kingdom of God is among you. And the people refused to acknowledge what was true. In fact, they continued to clamor for more signs and wonders. Show us more. Give us more miracles. Perform more mighty acts. The vast majority of the people, the crowd that Jesus had met on the day-to-day basis, enjoyed the signs and wonders, but never stopped to consider what the signs and wonders were pointing to. They misinterpreted the clear indications. They failed to accept the teaching and identity of Jesus Christ, and they failed to acknowledge that the age of Israel was going to dramatically shift, because even the time for the Jewish nation was quickly coming to a close. The stubborn rejection of the Israelite people to acknowledge the identity of Jesus Christ and the presence of the kingdom of God being at hand was going to usher in a time of severe judgment. Many people, most of the people living during this time would be alive at 70 AD. When the Roman army would come and raise, they would destroy Jerusalem and burn the temple to the ground. The time of the Jewish nation was quickly coming to a close. The rejection, the failure to acknowledge the signs and wonders that Jesus was performing was ushering in a time of great judgment and tribulation. But knowing the time applies not only to the Israelites, but it applies to us in our day and age as well. Now, we don't live in the day and age when Jesus Christ was living and walking here upon this earth. But that does not free us of the responsibility to be wise concerning the day, as verse 56 says, to interpret this present time. The fact is, we live in what may be perhaps the most worldly wise age. The amount of knowledge that our present generation has is amazing. And as much as we can kid concerning the weathermen of our present day and age, usually they're right. I mean, they foretold the fact that it was going to be pretty cold this past Wednesday and Thursday, and they foretold it was going to be balmy today. There is great wisdom, worldly speaking, in our present day and age. But do most people know how to discern, to read the signs of the present age? Do they know what time of day it is, spiritually speaking? Consider just for a moment one passage, 2 Timothy 3, verse 1. Here Paul says to Timothy, in the last days, people will be lovers of self, lovers of pleasure, lovers of money. They will be disobedient and holy, unholy. Disobedient and unholy, lovers of self, lovers of pleasure, and lovers of money. What does that sound like to you? Does that sound like the age in which we live? And here Paul says, that will be a sign of the last days. You see, what Scripture tells us is when we look at the world around us with spiritual wisdom and discernment, we can see that the signs of the time are telling us the day is late, the age is spent. There are, if you will, storm clouds building on the horizon. The southern wind is picking up. Most people, being hypocritical, refuse to acknowledge that the day of judgment is at hand. They say, as we read earlier from 2 Peter 3, where is this coming day of judgment that you Christians keep talking about? The world continues as it always has. Nothing changes. But what the people of our world deliberately forget and suppress in unrighteousness is that the world has not always been this way. It has undergone a destruction before in the days of judgment, in the days of Noah, a destruction by fire, by the flood. And as Jesus said earlier in this chapter, in Luke 12, verse 49, Jesus is going to kindle a fire, and indeed he desires for that fire to be already started. Just as that generation refused to see what was so evident, so our generation continues to deny the truth. There is a future judgment. We are living in the last days. The return of Christ is closer now than it has ever been before. You can kind of divide the world history into three epochs. You have the Old Testament, where the Father revealed His will in the law of Sinai. Then you have the age of Jesus Christ, His earthly ministry. And now, after Pentecost, we live in the age of the Spirit. And the age of the Spirit is called the end days, or the last days. Jesus is here saying, you need to be wise concerning the time in which you live. There is a future and certain judgment. As we look at the hearts of men in this world in which we live, it is a resounding reminder that Christ is coming back and the day is near. The fact is, one day, and one day soon, what has been common over the past 2,000 years will no longer be. May God have mercy on those who are more concerned about the weather than they are about the state of their own soul. May God have mercy on those who are wise concerning the present days, concerning what they should wear, and are foolish because they are poor in regards to God. To live like there will be no day of reckoning while respecting the weather is foolish. Even to this day, Jesus is revealing that the age of the Spirit is upon us. The master of the house is standing at the door. When he knocks, will we be dressed, ready for action, and open the door so that he might come in? Well, as Jesus continues, he not only commands us to have wisdom concerning the end of the age that is swiftly coming upon us, he calls us to live in light of this truth today. Verse 57, Jesus transitions to a seemingly unrelated topic. Jesus is teaching, yes, it is a practical truth, to settle accounts before things get worse. In the account here that Jesus gives us, there is a guilty person who is being called to court, summoned to court, and on the way to court, he meets the one who has an accusation against him, a just accusation. Jesus says it's better for you to settle accounts before you get to the courtroom, because once it gets to the courts, it's out of your hands, and strict judgment, restitution, will be applied. I can put it in a present-day example. Let's say, for example, you have a medical procedure that you must receive. So you go to the hospital, you receive this medical procedure, you get back home, and you get this substantial bill from the hospital. What's wiser? Is it wiser to go to the hospital, to speak to the financial department, to get yourself on some sort of a payment plan in order to make sure your debts are being paid? Because if you go to the financial department of the hospital, what will happen, what tends to happen, is that they will actually decrease your bill if you agree to a financial payment schedule. But if you foolishly refuse to acknowledge the debt that you owe, what will happen is that the hospital will turn over that bill to a collection agency, and you can bet that that collection agency will not stop until they have been paid every single cent plus interest. In fact, they will garnish your wages. What's wise is to be prepared in advance to acknowledge your debt and to sue for payment, to sue for peace. Now that's worldly wisdom. It applies to the present day and age. Yes, Jesus is giving us a wise course of action. However, when you put this teaching in the context of Luke chapter 12 as a whole, we acknowledge that there is someone else, another, whom we have wronged, and whose justice needs to be satisfied. In the context of this chapter, we know that as fallen human beings, we are on our way to the courtroom to meet the judge. We will arrive at the courtroom, we will arrive at the judge when the judge comes back, the day of judgment. The fact is, we have offended God. God is justly, righteously offended with us because of our sins and our transgressions. We have a debt that must, will be paid. If we want to avoid showing up at the day of judgment, showing up in the courthouse or the courtroom on that last day, with no one to secure peace for us, then we had better find a way to secure payment today. Let me put this another way. Verse 58 says that we are in transit. We and all men in this current life are in transit. We are on our way to the courthouse. You have an option here. A, seek peace and payment today. Settle your accounts today. B, wait until the day of judgment to settle your accounts. One way or the other, your account will be settled. The good news is, for us today, option A, on the way in transit, before we get to the courthouse, there is someone who is willing to pay your debt for you. That's Jesus Christ. There is a way to settle your accounts before the day of judgment, and that is finding peace and being justified, that Christ's righteousness, satisfaction, and holiness would be your payment. But if you don't choose option A, know this, in option B, you will not get out of paying until you have paid the last cent. And you know that in option B, if you choose to appear before the judgment seat of God with no one to stand on your behalf, you will be sent to hell for all eternity, and you will remain there forever. Let me speak to our young people for just a moment. One of the chief lies that the devil is trying to convince you is this: you can repent tomorrow. You can seek peace with God later in life. But young people, you do not know what tomorrow will bring, even if there will be a tomorrow. Just this past week, a family friend, it was a good friend of my parents, was going about his daily activities, had a massive heart attack, and died like that. He couldn't plan for it. He didn't prepare for it. He was healthy, vigorous, one moment, and the next minute he was dead. And his soul was appearing before the judge. If he had not sought option A in this life while he was in transit, he would have been forced into option B. To postpone repentance and faith is to deliberately choose option B. Today is the day of salvation. You do not know what tomorrow will bring, if there will be a tomorrow. So I implore you, repent today. Because there is someone who is willing to make payment for you. In order to settle your accounts before the day of judgment, you must find a way to have peace with God. And the only way that can happen, the only way for us who are the offenders, who are guilty, is if Jesus Christ pays the debt for us. Another lie that the devil tries to tell us is that we're not guilty. We have no debt. But Jesus makes it abundantly clear, we're all guilty. Verse 58. There is someone who has a just cause against us. That is a righteous God. 1 John 1 verse 8, if we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves. If you think you aren't guilty, if you don't have a payment that you have to offer to God, you're deceiving yourself. But since we do have sin and we are guilty, we're indebted to the justice of God. Let us seek peace while we are in transit. Let us make use of the way of escape that God has provided, the justice, satisfaction, and righteousness of God, all satisfied in Jesus Christ. To conclude, fallen man refuses to acknowledge the time of day. To be wise in weather and foolish concerning spiritual things, it's as foolish as going out last week Wednesday in your bathing suit. To try to show up before God on the day of judgment without seeking peace, that's foolish. It's foolishness. Look at the signs. The sun is going down. The cloud is rising in the sea. The south wind is blowing. The judge stands at the door. We live in an age where people are lovers of self, lovers of pleasure, lovers of money, unholy and ungodly. It's the last days. Jesus is coming back soon. As Romans 6 verse 23 says, the wages of sin are death, but the free gift of God is eternal life in Jesus Christ. So in wisdom, brother and sister in Christ, discern the present age. Find peace with God today in transit. So that when you arrive at the courthouse, your account is already settled. Jesus Christ today is teaching us to discern the present age so that we might learn how to live wisely. Amen. Our Father in heaven, we thank you for this word, which is so challenging that awakens us from our sleep. We acknowledge, O Lord, by nature, we are so prone to be wise in the things of this world. We can look at the weather and we can look at the forecast and know what tomorrow will bring. But in fact, we don't know what tomorrow will bring because it might be the end. Help us, O Lord. May we as your people be ready. May we find peace on the way so that when the day of judgment appears, when the judge comes, that our account will already be settled. We thank you for Christ, who is the one who brings peace between God and men. Give us hearts of wisdom so that we might know how to live wisely. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.